Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Nittai Gauranga Jaya Nittai Gauranga. Nittai Gauranga Jaya Nittai Gauranga. Nittai Gauranga Gaura Hari. Nittai Gauranga Jaya Gaura Hari. Gaura 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 Hari. Gaura 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 Hari. Jaya Satchinandana Gaura Hari. Jaya Satchinandana Gaura Hari. Nittai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaura Hari Bol. Nittai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaura Hari Bol. Jaya Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Padavrajaka Acharya Ashutosh Sata Sri Shriman ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Guru Srila Prabhupada. As you know, normally on Sundays we have a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, but Jagadish Prabhu had just picked the normal Bhagavatam lecture in the series that we were doing from Vrindavan, so it was decided that we should just continue with hearing about Lord Chaitanya since his appearance is just a few days. So we can recite the Mangalacharna together for auspiciousness for his prophets. Pranams Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshtarini Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutakpada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vatam Tang Sajivam Chadvaitam Savadutam Paridina Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvatangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namoste Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopaturubhyascha Kripasanubha Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasa Adi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I think yesterday was calculated that this is the 526th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this world, because 86 was the 500th, so 96 would be 510, 2006 would be 520, now we're up to 2012, so 526th year after the Lord appeared in this world. And Amarendra Prabhu spoke very eloquently yesterday about the external reasons. So I was asked on very short notice to speak about the internal reasons. How do we know anything about the internal reasons for the Lord's appearance in this world? How do we know? Yeah, but how do you know what he says? Yes, by the mercy of the Lord's pure devotees, we know something about his reason for doing anything. Not that we have newly invented anything or newly discovered or realized anything. We're simply trying to understand that which has been presented by the Lord's pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada and his predecessor teachers have given us this Chaitanya Charitamrita so we can try to appreciate the reasons why Lord Chaitanya appeared in this world, his activities while he was here. So we may be inspired to continue on this path of Krishna consciousness. First, I'm going to read the chapter summary from chapter 4 of the Adi Lila, which is entitled The Confidential Reasons for the Appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Some of our newer students. Who's the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita? Yes, Krishnadas Kaviraj. So, in this chapter of the epic Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has stressed that Lord Chaitanya appeared for three principal purposes of his own. The first purpose was to relish the position of Srimati Radharani, who is the prime reciprocator of transcendental love of Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of transcendental loving transactions with Srimati Radharani. The subject of those loving transactions is the Lord himself, and Radharani is the object. Thus, the subject, the Lord, wanted to relish the loving mellow in the position of the object, Radharani. So that's the first reason. The second reason for his appearance was to understand the transcendental mellow of himself. Lord Krishna is all sweetness. We often hear, God is good. So now we know God is also sweet. Lord Krishna is all sweetness. Radharani's attraction for Krishna is sublime. And to experience that attraction and understand the transcendental sweetness of himself, he accepted the mentality of Radharani. The third reason that Lord Chaitanya appeared was to enjoy the bliss tasted by Radharani. The Lord thought that undoubtedly Radharani enjoyed his company and he enjoyed the company of Radharani. But the exchange of transcendental mellow between the spiritual couple was more pleasing to Srimati Radharani than to Sri Krishna. Radharani felt more transcendental pleasure in the company of Krishna than he could understand without taking her position. But for Sri Krishna to enjoy in the position of Srimati Radharani was impossible because that position was completely foreign to him. Krishna is the transcendental male and Radharani is the transcendental female. Therefore, to know the transcendental pleasure of loving Krishna, Lord Krishna himself appeared as Lord Chaitanya, accepting the emotions and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to fulfill these confidential desires and also to preach the special significance of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and to answer the call of Advaita Prabhu. These were secondary reasons. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami was the principal figure among Lord Chaitanya's confidential devotees. The records of his diary have revealed these confidential purposes of the Lord. These revelations have been confirmed by the statements of Srila Rupa Goswami in his various prayers and poems. This chapter also specifically describes the difference between lust and love. The transactions of Krishna and Radha are completely different from material lust. Therefore, the author has very clearly distinguished between them. So that's the end of the chapter summary. Now, that last point is very, very important, because even materialists are fed up with lust from time to time, but they don't know anything different, so they go back to it. Recently, there was an article in the New York Times condemning yoga, because the author was stating that yoga, as we know in the West, this hatha yoga practice of asanas and breathing, inevitably ignites sexual passion in the practitioners. And therefore, we've seen, he said, where so many of these big, big yogis, which is true, who have come from India and started so many of these yoga movements, they fall down. Even though they preach celibacy to their students, they all generally almost always fall down into sex life. So that is the fact. But what the author was disingenuously not saying was that this happens in every sphere of life that you examine. If you look in the political world, if you look in the religious world, if you look in the educational world, the same thing is going on. The teachers are falling down with the students. The president is chasing after the secretary. I mean, this is just because the material world is a place of lust. So the author of that article was saying that he doesn't understand why the yoga students get so upset when their teachers fall down, because yoga itself is meant for that. This is his fallacy. This is the main thing that was wrong with his article, that he was saying that yoga was actually meant to incite sexual passion, and therefore you can't be surprised when yoga practitioners fall down with their students, because this is what it's meant for. That's not what yoga is meant for. Yoga means connecting with the Supreme. And the Hatha Yoga, the practicing of asanas and breathing, is just the beginning point. It's like Prabhupada used to say, it's like when you have a naughty child, you say, sit down over there and don't do anything. So this is the beginning. Sit down, control your breathing, and start to realize that you're separate from this body. If you practice the Hatha Yoga properly, you begin to experience that. I'm not this body. And then you progress all the way up till you come to the point of samadhi, which where your mind is fixed on the Supreme. Yoga is not meant for increasing lust. It's meant for decreasing lust. So this was the big mistake this guy made. But like I said, any aspect of the material world that you look at, the lust is there. It's not that it's only, even if you say that yoga is meant for increasing lust, everything else they do increases their lust. When they go to the ballet, what do you think they're doing? You think they're enjoying the music? They're looking at those girls and developing lusty desires. Everything they do in the name of art or education or politics, it all comes down to lusty desires. So Kaviraj Maharaj has given at the later on in this chapter a very, very clear distinction between what is love and what is lust. So this chapter is so dense. I mean, I had the good fortune, as many of you know, to work on that marathon, 2-month marathon, producing 17 volumes, including this Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I've read and reread this fourth chapter of the Adi Leela, and it is so dense. You could spend your whole life trying to appreciate just this one chapter. All right, now, Krishnadas Kaviraj always begins his chapters with a verse glorifying Lord Chaitanya. Very interesting to try to memorize those. I have memorized this particular one, but it's similar to some others, but anyway, he says here, Sri Chaitanya Prasadena Tad Rupasya Vinirnayam Palopi Kurute Shastram Drishtva Vrajavilasinaha. Prophet translates, By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Braja, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. So, there's a little purport. I'm going to read this, and then we're just going to jump ahead to some verses. Prabhupada says, one can ascertain the meaning of this Sanskrit shloka only when one is endowed with the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Sri Krishna, being the absolute personality of Godhead, cannot be exposed to the mundane instruments of vision. He reserves the right not to be exposed by the intellectual feats of non-devotees. So what Prabhupada is pointing out here is that there are many non-devotees who read this Chaitanya Charitamrita, but they don't find Lord Chaitanya. You know, because you have to be a devotee to begin to appreciate Lord Chaitanya. Notwithstanding this truth, even a small child can easily understand Lord Sri Krishna and his transcendental pastimes in the land of Vrindavan by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're very fortunate, even if we're not very intellectually inclined or advanced, if we simply come in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord like Srila Prabhupada, then we can begin to appreciate these truths about Lord Chaitanya. Where is Bhakta Joshua? Is he here? Oh, there he is, yeah. At the end of my last class, Bhakta Joshua, just at the end of the question and answers, he asked, what does absolute mean? So I was really in ecstasy, but I couldn't take a lot of time to explain that. I just tried to explain to him the difference between absolute and relative. But this entire body of Vaishnava literature that we have is expanding on that. What is the absolute truth? As you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the Janmadhyasya verse explaining what is the absolute truth, that the absolute truth is that from which everything expands or emanates, including ourselves. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, as of course, is Matak Paratam Nanyat Kinchit Asya. There is no truth superior to me. So Krishna is that absolute truth. And as we're finding out by hearing from Krishna Das Kaviraj, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself in the mood of Radharani. So now we're going to jump ahead to, let's see, we'll go to text 38. Pardon me, I didn't have time to set bookmarks. I'm going to have to like quickly jump ahead here. Now, Krishnadas Kaviraj Maharaj is going to explain to us something about the nature of Lord Chaitanya, and then we'll get into those three internal reasons. But like I said, this chapter is so dense. If you've never read it, please dive in. And those who have read it probably need to reread it. Prabhupada's books, I mean, it's amazing how much Prabhupada puts in his books. When we know the short span of time that he stayed on this planet, it's just absolutely mind-boggling when you sit down and really start to read and appreciate everything that Prabhupada said. There's just so much, even in just one chapter. So this text 38, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, when the Lord desired to appear for another reason, the time for promulgating the religion of the age also arose. Text 39, thus with two intentions, the Lord appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of prema with the congregational chanting of the holy name. Text 40, thus he spread kirtan even among the untouchables. He wove a wreath of the holy name and prema with which he garlanded the entire material world. And then text 41, in this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, he preached devotional service while practicing it himself. Prabhupada's purport. When Rupa Goswami met Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag, Allahabad, he offered his respectful obeisances by submitting that Lord Chaitanya was more magnanimous than any other avatar of Krishna. Any of our new devotees know that verse? If you ring the bell to offer boga, you should know that verse. You're not a new devotee. Trying to get these new devotees to study, because I try to drill this in all the time to our brahmacharis. Brahmachari life means study. This is a time to study. If you don't study when you're in a brahmacharya ashram, something is wrong. Yes, you have to do some practical service, but the main point of brahmachari life is to study the scripture under the guidance of the spiritual master, so that one becomes fixed up in understanding and therefore can act properly. If we don't hear how to act properly, how will we know how to act properly? So everything starts with hearing, and brahmachari life means dedicated to hearing constantly. Right? Hearing constantly. Directly from the spiritual master, if the spiritual master is present before you, or from the writings of the spiritual master, the predecessor acharyas, one has to hear. And then one will know how to act. So, Prabhupada continues. By submitting that Lord Chaitanya was more magnanimous than any other avatar of Krishna because he was distributing love of Krishna. His mission was to enhance love of Godhead. In the human form of life, the highest achievement is to attain the platform of love of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya did not invent a system of religion as people sometimes assume. Religious systems are meant to show the existence of God, who is then generally approached as the cosmic order supplier. Isn't it? Everybody goes, give me this, give me that. So Prabhupada coined that phrase, the cosmic order supplier. This is how people see God. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental mission is to distribute love of Godhead to everyone. Anyone who accepts God as the supreme can take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna and become a lover of God. This is very important for us to understand. Krishna consciousness is not a process of conversion. We're not asking Catholics and Protestants and Muslims to become Hindus. That's not what's going on here. As Prabhupada said, anyone who accepts God as the supreme, which is supposed to be the case in all of those different religious traditions, can take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna and become a lover of God. That's all we're saying. If you're interested in the subject of God, if you say you accept that God is supreme and you want to know God, this is an easy way to know God. Just chant God's holy name. Specifically, we recommend the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But as Prabhupada also said many times, if you have some other bona fide name of God, you can chant that. So the chanting process is meant for bringing you closer to that supreme that you say you accept. You accept God. So take this chanting process and it will bring you closer to God. Continuing. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is the most magnanimous. This munificent broadcasting of devotional service is possible only for Krishna himself. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has taught the philosophy of surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who has surrendered to the Supreme can make further progress by learning to love him. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement propagated by Lord Chaitanya is especially meant for those who are cognizant of the presence of the Supreme Godhead, the ultimate controller of everything. His mission is to teach people how to dovetail themselves into engagements of transcendental loving service. He is Krishna teaching his own service from the position of a devotee. The Lord's acceptance of the role of a devotee in the eternal form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is another of the Lord's wonderful features. A conditioned soul cannot reach the absolute personality of Godhead by his imperfect endeavor. And therefore it is wonderful that Lord Sri Krishna, in the form of Lord Gauranga, has made it easy for everyone to approach him. Sarup Damodar Goswami has described Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself with the attitude of Radharani, or a combination of Radha and Krishna. The intention of Lord Chaitanya is to taste Krishna's sweetness in transcendental love. He does not care to think of himself as Krishna because he wants the position of Radharani. We should remember this. A class of so-called devotees called the Nadiya Nagaris or Gauranga Nagaris pretend that they have the sentiment of gopis toward Lord Chaitanya. But they do not realize that he placed himself not as the enjoyer, Krishna, but as the enjoyed, the devotee of Krishna. The concoctions of unauthorized persons pretending to be bona fide have not been accepted by Lord Chaitanya. Presentations such as those of the Gauranga Nagaris are only disturbances to the sincere execution of the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is undoubtedly Krishna himself, and he's always non-different from Srimati Radharani. But the emotion, technically called Vipalamba Bhava, which the Lord adopted for confidential reasons, should not be disturbed in the name of service. A mundaner should not unnecessarily intrude into affairs of transcendence and thereby displease the Lord. One must always be on guard against this sort of devotional anomaly. A devotee is not meant to create disturbances to Krishna. As Srila Rupa Goswami has explained, devotional service is anukulyena, or favorable to Krishna. Acting unfavorably toward Krishna is not devotion. Kamsa was the enemy of Krishna. He always thought of Krishna, but he thought of him as an enemy. One should always avoid such unfavorable so-called service. Lord Chaitanya has accepted the role of Radharani, and we should support that position, as Swarup Damodar did in the Gambhira, the room where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Puri. He always reminded Lord Chaitanya of Radha's feelings of separation, as they are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, and Lord Chaitanya appreciated his assistance. But the Gauranga Nagaris, who placed Lord Chaitanya in the position of enjoyer, and themselves as his enjoyed, are not approved by Lord Chaitanya or by Lord Chaitanya's followers. Instead of being blessed, the foolish imitators are left completely apart. Their concoctions are against the principles of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The doctrine of transcendental enjoyment by Krishna cannot be fixed up with the doctrine of transcendental feeling of separation from Krishna in the role of Radharani. Whoa. See what I mean about this chapter? Just one purport. And there are hundreds of verses in this chapter. So, all right. So let's see. From here we were going to go to text 55. Again, bear with me while I get there. Okay, so text 55 is a famous verse explaining this position of Lord Chaitanya. Radha Krishna Pranaya Brikatir Hladi Nishakti Rasmad Ekat Manabhapi Bhuvi Pura Deha Bhedangatautau Chaitanyakyam Prakatam Adhuna Tadvayang Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Dhyuti Suvalitang Naomi Krishna Sarupam. And Prabhupada translates that as, the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. And Prabhupada says, in short purport, this text is from the diary of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. It appears as the fifth of the first 14 verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Kaviraj Goswami goes on then to explain, Radha Krishna Eka Atma Dui Deha Dari Anyonye Vilase Rasa Asvadana Kori. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies, thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. Very nice purport there, but we're going to skip ahead. Next verse, 57. Sedui eka ebe chaitanya gosani, rasa asvadite donhe aila ekatani. Now to enjoy rasa, they have appeared in one body as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 58. Iti lagi age kori tara vivarana, yaha haite haya gorera mahima katana. Therefore, I shall first delineate the position of Radha and Krishna. From that description, the glory of Lord Chaitanya will be known. So then, Krishnadas Kaviraj spends quite a few verses describing Krishna's position as the Adi Purusha and Radharani's position, that just as Krishna is the source of so many incarnations and expansions, similarly, Radharani is the source of all the expansion, pastime expansions, the queens of Dwarka, the Lakshmis and Vaikuntha, they all expand from Radharani. There's a verse that says that, Devi Krishmayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmayi Sarva Kanti Sanmohini Para. That appears, I think, as text 83 in this chapter. So that explains Radharani's position as the source Devi Krishnamayi Prokta, Radhikapa, Sarva Lakshmi, Sarva Kanti, all these, the Lakshmis and all the other queens and everything, they all expand from Radharani, just as Krishna expands into so many forms, and Radharani also expands to serve Krishna. And yes, so now we're going to go ahead to text 121. Let's just get there quickly. All right, so now in text 121, we get to the three desires. First of the three desires, or internal reasons why Lord Chaitanya appeared. And Kaviraj Maharaj says, Tanhara pratama vancha koriye vyakhyana Krishna kahe amihai rasyara nidana. Prabhupada translates, I shall explain his first desire. Krishna says, I am the primary cause of all rasas. And then I'll just read translations from here. 122. I am the full spiritual truth and am made of full joy. But the love of Srimati Radharani drives me mad. 123. I do not know the strength of Radha's love with which she always overwhelms me. 124. The love of Radhika is my teacher and I am her dancing pupil. Her prema makes me dance various novel dances. Okay, text 125 is a Sanskrit verse which I'll read. Kasmad rinde priya sakhi hare pada mulat kutauso. Kunda aranye kim iha kurute nritya shiksham kuru kaha. Tang tuan murti pratitaru latang dig vidikshu spuranti. Shailu Shiva Brahmati Parito Nartayanti Sapashchat. Prabhupada's translation. O my beloved friend Vrinda, where are you coming from? I am coming from the feet of Sri Hari. Where is he? In the forest on the bank of Radhakund. What is he doing there? He is learning dancing. Who is his master? Your image, Radha, revealing itself in every tree and creeper in every direction, is roaming like a skillful dancer, making him dance behind. This is from the Govinda Lilamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj. So this is explaining, by way of explaining again, that Krishna, as the subject, wanted to taste what Radharani was experiencing as the object of the love that is exchanged between the two of them. Krishna says, whatever pleasure I get from tasting my love for Srimati Radharani, she tastes 10 million times more than me by her love. Just as I am the abode of all mutually contradictory characteristics, so Radha's love is always full of similar contradictions. Radha's love is all-pervading, leaving no room for expansion, but still, it is expanding constantly. So, one point that we should try to appreciate is that this is not a one-time occurrence, you know, because we're in this world where time apparently is going in a linear fashion. We think, okay, so this happened at this point and then that happened. But Krishna's pastimes are eternal, all of them. We know Krishna says, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. He appears once in the day of Brahma and in the Dwapara Yuga, and then that following Kali Yuga is when Lord Chaitanya appears. So this is going on all the time. Once in the day of Brahma, Krishna comes, and in the next Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya comes. So these are not conclusions that are made at one point in time and that's it. Again, it's Nitya Lila. It keeps going on. There is certainly nothing greater than her love, but her love is devoid of pride. That is a sign of its greatness. Nothing is purer than her love, but its behavior is always perverse and crooked. All glory to Radha's love for Krishna, the enemy of the demon Mura. Although it is all-pervading, it tends to increase at every moment. Although it is important, it is devoid of pride. And although it is pure, it is always beset with duplicity. This is a verse from the Dhanakili Kaumudi of Srila Rupa Goswami. So now we're hearing about the first reason, and we're going to go ahead to the second reason, which begins at text 137. See if we can get there quickly. it is beset with duplicity. Yeah, somebody was asking me recently, if Radha has this contrary disposition towards Krishna, in other words, she doesn't agree with everything and she fights with him, why is it that he favors her more than anyone else? So this is rasa, this is taste. There are unlimited rasas, unlimited tastes, but this particular taste, parakriya rasa, and this not agreeing always with everything that Krishna wants, this is what Krishna relishes the most. He relishes that. We cannot imitate that, and not everybody's in that mood. For instance, we know Chandravali is just the opposite. She's very, very submissive, just similarly with Rukmini and Satyabhama, different moods. So Krishna enjoys all of these different moods. It's not that he only enjoys that mood and not the other moods. He enjoys them all. He enjoys them all. Like Prabhupada used to say, you know, don't think that Krishna only embraces the gopis. He embraces the cows. Krishna enjoys embracing the cows. He's not just doing it out of idle. He loves to hug the cow. So he doesn't just love to hug the gopis. He loves to hug the cows and all the other creatures. So Krishna's pastimes are full of unlimited tastes, mellows. And we try to appreciate by hearing from the predecessor acharyas, but it's not that one is important and therefore the rest are not important. Or this one is the best and therefore the others are nothing. No, it's not like that. Everything in the transcendental world is perfect. But still, there's variety. So, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, that is one desire, and now please hear of another. Seeing his own beauty, Lord Krishna began to consider. My sweetness is wonderful, infinite, and full. No one in the three worlds can find its limit. Only Radhika, by the strength of her love, tastes all the nectar of my sweetness. Although Radha's love is pure like a mirror, its purity increases at every moment. My sweetness also has no room for expansion, yet it shines before that mirror in newer and newer beauty. There is constant competition between my sweetness and the mirror of Radha's love. They both go on increasing, but neither knows defeat. My sweetness is always newer and newer. Devotees taste it according to their own respective love. See, this is the point. Everybody has a particular view of Krishna and loves Krishna in that regard. As he says here himself, devotees taste it according to their own respective love. So the sweetness of Krishna is appreciated differently by all of us because we're seeing Krishna from a slightly different angle of view. If I see my sweetness in the mirror, I am tempted to taste it, but nevertheless I cannot. If I deliberate on a way to taste it, I find that I hanker for the position of Radhika. So Prabhupada has a purport here. This is text 145. Krishna's attractiveness is wonderful and unlimited. No one can know the end of it. Srimati Radharani alone can relish such extensiveness from her position in the Ashraya category. The mirror of Srimati Radharani's transcendental love is perfectly clear, yet it appears clearer and clearest in the transcendental method of understanding Krishna. Try to understand Srila Prabhupada's position. No ordinary person can explain these things. No ordinary person can explain these facets of the absolute truth. So Srila Prabhupada's position, if we don't try to appreciate his position, then we cannot taste the sweetness of what he's saying. But if we begin to understand a little bit or try to understand Srila Prabhupada's position, then we start to taste the sweetness of what he's saying here. In the mirror of Radharani's heart, the transcendental features of Krishna appear increasingly new and fresh. In other words, the attraction of Krishna increases in proportion to the understanding of Srimati Radharani. Everybody got that? The attraction of Krishna increases in proportion to the understanding of Srimati Radharani. Each tries to supersede the other. Neither wants to be defeated in increasing the intensity of love. Desiring to understand Radharani's attitude of increasing love, Lord Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So just try to appreciate our position. Here we are, we've been given this. It's like if you're hungry, you're starving, and you come to the temple, and one of the devotees runs and puts together just this wonderful maha plate and brings it out to give you. And then at the same time, somebody else brings a plate of stool. Not just stool, but dog stool. And if you put down the maha prasadam and you eat the dog stool, you're crazy, you're nuts. Obviously, immediately you should be put into a nut house. But that's our position in the material world. We are being given a chance to eat the wonderful prasadam of hearing and chanting about Krishna, of associating with Krishna's devotee, of serving Krishna. And instead, we're still eyeing the stool, thinking that it's attractive. This material world, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, is a stool house. It's an outhouse. We know. Why? Because everybody here is passing stool. It's an outhouse. You don't find it in the spiritual world. So if we remain attracted to the stool room, how foolish we are. We have to take this very seriously. Otherwise, we don't become committed to chasing after the Mahaprasadam. Right? We can tell. I mean, at least I know when I joined in New York, we used to say, anybody who comes through this door and is spontaneously attracted to halava, they're going to make great devotees. Isn't it? Prasad? Yeah. So that's the test. If you are immediately attracted to prasadam, especially halava, you're going to be a really good devotee. So we have to take that seriously and be always concentrated on being attracted to the prasadam of seeing the deities, serving the deities, distributing Prabhupada's books, reading Prabhupada's books, eating Mahaprasadam. This is what devotional life is all about. And stop eyeballing. Like I spoke at Cal State LA last Wednesday. And inevitably the teacher, we've been going there for years, probably 12 years now to that particular teacher. She always brings up this business about how you guys can, you know, avoid illicit sex. So I told him, I said, Krishna consciousness means to become serious about meditating on God's body and to stop meditating on other people's bodies. Which is what we do in this material world. It is absolutely ludicrous that we can yearn. Literally, we do. We yearn. I know I've gone through it, and I'm sure all of you here in this room, you yearn to unite with another material body. You have a material body. You know what it is. Skin, bone, blood, all that. And you yearn. We actually yearn to unite with another such body instead of yearning to unite with Krishna, to serve Krishna, to love Krishna. It's crazy. So real Krishna consciousness begins when we admit that we're nuts. We're crazy. We're chasing after illusion. We're chasing after stool. We're chasing after things that are not worthy to mention in the class, instead of chasing after Krishna. And then when we admit that, then we can start to appreciate this presentation by Krishna's pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. Okay, we're kind of getting low on time here, so I'm going to just... we were discussing the second desire. Krishna's being attracted to his own sweetness, and now we're going to just jump ahead to the third desire, and we'll wrap up there. So let's see. So text 160, Kaviraj Goswami says, Atyante nigudha e rasyara siddhanta swarupa goshani matra janina ekanta. This conclusion of rasa is extremely deep. Only Swarupa Damodara knows much about it. Then 161. Anyone else who claims to know it must have heard it from him, for he was the most intimate companion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The love of the gopis is called Rudha Bhava. It is pure and spotless. It is not at any time lust. The pure love of the gopis has become celebrated by the name lust. The dear devotees of the Lord, headed by Sri Uddhava, desire to taste that love. Lust and love have different characteristics, just as iron and gold have different natures. So Prabhupada says in a short purport here, one should try to discriminate between sexual love and pure love, for they belong to different categories, with a gulf of difference between them. They are as different from one another as iron is from gold. And then this famous verse, this where Kaviraj Maharaj defines, Atmendra priti vanta dare balikam krishnendra priti itcha dare premanama. That's text 165. Everybody should try to memorize that verse. The desire to gratify one's own senses is kama, lust. But the desire to please the senses of Lord Krishna is prema, love. Prabhupada's purport. The revealed scriptures describe pure love as follows. Sarvata dvangsa rahitam satyapi dvangsa karane yad bhava bandhanam yunaho sa prema parikirtitaha. Quote, if there is ample reason for the dissolution of a conjugal relationship and yet such a dissolution does not take place, such a relationship of intimate love is called pure. End of quote. The predominated gopis were bound to Krishna in such pure love. For them, there was no question of sexual love based on sense gratification. Their only engagement in life was to see Krishna happy in all respects, regardless of their own personal interests. They dedicated their souls only for the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. There was not the slightest tinge of sexual love between the gopis and Krishna. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita asserts with authority that sexual love is a matter of personal sense enjoyment. All the regulative principles in the Vedas pertaining to desires for popularity, fatherhood, wealth, and so on are different phases of sense gratification. Acts of sense gratification may be performed under the cover of public welfare, nationalism, religion, altruism, ethical codes, biblical codes, health directives, fruitive action, bashfulness, tolerance, personal comfort, liberation from material bondage, progress, family affection or fear of social ostracism, or legal punishment. But all these categories are different subdivisions of one substance, sense gratification. What a sentence. This is what I mean about appreciating Prabhupada. If you really get into Prabhupada's writing and just try to appreciate sentence by sentence what Prabhupada is saying, it's mind-blowing. It is mind-blowing the way Prabhupada writes. All such good acts are performed basically for one's own sense gratification, for no one can sacrifice his personal interest while discharging these much-advertised moral and religious principles. But above all this is a transcendental stage in which one feels himself to be only an eternal servitor of Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead. All acts performed in this sense of servitude are called pure love of God, because they are performed for the absolute sense gratification of Sri Krishna. However, any act performed for the purpose of enjoying its fruits or results is an act of sense gratification. Such actions are visible sometimes in gross and sometimes in subtle forms. There's so much more from this chapter that we could read, but time's getting short here. So I'll just leave time if there are any questions, discussion about anything that we've heard so far from Srila Prabhupada. Sachi Tanoi Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Sometimes while going to present Krishna consciousness to the other people, and if you find someone with some religious background, they said, what will be the specific, or you can name any distinction that makes your religion unique in having more explanations than any other religion? And if you will have you will have to mention this particular topic or rasas, especially, that's like a unique thing that not other religion presents. But I was just thinking that in the reading, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says only Swarup Damodar can understand these things. And then later on you were saying, if you could understand Srila Prabhupada's position, only he can explain and nobody else. So for us to try to explain this is a frustrated thing, because the audience might not be ready for this, but at the same time you try to give an explanation. So how will you make it, explain it in such a way that they don't get blowout or like offensive?
Yeah, well, I mean, if somebody asks a direct question, we should try to give them a direct answer. But you have to do it in stages. If they can appreciate their eternality, if they can't even understand that, then how can you go any further? In other words, I ask them in return, well, what is the goal of your religious practice? obviously must be something that transcends death, because if death ends everything, then there's no discussion. So if you can appreciate that the living entity, the soul, survives the death experience, then what is it that happens after that? So we can start discussing there. So if they can appreciate that, yes, of course, you must survive death, otherwise where's any question of going heaven or hell or any? I mean, obviously the soul survives death. So then you can start to discuss that, yes, the ultimate goal on this path is to reawaken our love of God and qualify ourselves to eternally serve Him in one of these five rasas or moods. And then we explain to them about the Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, and the Madhuryaras. And that you won't find for sure in any other scripture from any tradition, at least I haven't found. And I looked a lot before coming to Krishna consciousness, and since coming, I think I've heard a few things from other people. I have not found anybody discussing that topic. Everybody accepts God the Father, and there is some sense of servitude, but even that is not fully explained. It's not fully explained, and they certainly don't provide the kind of examples that we find in the Vaishnava literature, like Daruka, who was feeling ecstasy serving Krishna, but was condemning that ecstasy because it interfered with his service to Krishna. I mean, you don't find that kind of explanation anywhere else. Everybody wants to take God, as Prabhupada said, as a cosmic order supplier. Even after death, while they're in this body, they're always asking God, give me this, give me, give me, give me, give me. And after death, they want God to serve them by providing a very nice environment for them to live in. You know, it's all about them. It's not about God. So we can, again, but if they can't appreciate that first point about the eternality of the soul, then there's no question of going further and explaining something higher. Any other questions or comments? Okay, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Hari Hari Bol.
Saffron, coconut, cashew,
halibut. Well, you make basically a coconut halibut, but you got
of course, saffron is always good.
In the water, and, you know, you get
some cashew.
It works.
Wow.
But how do you
eat? All right. How do you go?
Nice to ask for a little. Sorry, I haven't called you. They changed my schedule.
Yeah? I figured.
I'm full-time now, Monday to Friday.
Oh, happy for you.